Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday. Monday, Noel. It's Monday, but it's really not.
Monday.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
I've been on a real mama's and the papa's kick lately.
Oh, man.
Every other day.
Every other day is fine. I love it, dude. I love the mamas and the papas.
It's really, really, really great.
Yeah, and you know, I encourage, if you're a fan of Mamas and the Papas, and I'm sure you do this, but get away from, I mean, the hits are great, but get into those deep cuts. It's all good. All great. How you doing?
All great on a Monday.
That's our version.
Yeah. Man, I joined you in medias res on that last one. That's a Latin term that means in the middle of, often used to describe when a story begins in the middle.
So let's do opposite. Let's catch up now, which is okay. a week late to the listener, but in real time for us. Yep. How you doing, Noel?
A little hungover, Chuck. Not going to lie.
Oh, what's do tell.
I mean, nothing much to tell. Just, you know, I got settled in my new place and had a couple friends over to check it out and got into some Jameson and some video games. And the rest is history.
What games did you play? You guys sat around and gamed?
Oh my God. So we started off with a little Mario Kart. But then the batteries in my Wiimote died. So I had just gotten this new game. A friend of mine recommended it, and the name sounds ridiculous, but it's called Ultimate Chicken Horse. And I don't know how to describe it, Chuck. You basically you build these levels that are sort of like mini Mario levels where you have to go like platform from left to right to get across to from a start point to a goal. But you build these obstacles you get to choose every turn. You and your opponent get to choose these pieces that you put in, and as you fail or you both get to the end, you keep having to add more pieces. So every time it gets more and more complex, and then some of them are traps, and you get extra points if your opponent falls into one of the traps that you laid. It sounds complicated, but it's actually really simple. Once you get the hang of it, it is a delight, and up to five people can play in the room at once.
You
can also play online. It's the design of it is really clever. It's just a really, really cool game. Ultimate Chicken Horse. Could not recommend it highly enough.
All right. Well, I'm on the countdown, 8 days and counting, Noel, till The Last of Us 2 comes out. June 19th.
I saw that. Did you pre-order it? Are you a pre-orderer?
Fuck yeah. Well, I did for this. I'm generally not, and I don't know. I don't think I can, in good conscience, dive right into it, unfortunately, because I've given so much of my life to riding my horse around in Red Dead, to the undelight of my wife and marriage. So I'm still sneaking up there and riding the horse a little bit every now and then. But you know how when you play a game like that and you play and play, and then it gets to the point where you're like, why am I even playing this anymore? That's when it's time to put it down. You know? It's not like bringing me a ton of joy anymore. It's sort of like when you get to where you're just pursuing leveling up and getting more guns, it's diminishing returns at that point for me.
Well, you're also you're past the game part. You've beaten that already, and maybe it's time to move on. But you're saying you need a little break, you need a little video game space to make the wife feel okay when you dive into a Last of Us rabbit hole?
Yeah, I don't think I could go straight into Last of Us 2, which will surely be very, very engrossing. It's not a game you're like, I'll play it a couple hours a week. Those stories really draw you in, you know? I think I need to wait a while.
I seem to remember the first one wasn't a particularly long game, though. It's not it's a good movie or a good TV series. I feel like you can probably finish it in about maybe 8 hours, 10 hours, something like that.
It took a little longer than that. Okay. And it was one of those games that was so good, I just kept back and going back and playing my favorite parts of it over and over again. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. The cutscenes alone are just beautifully, like when, I don't want, no spoilers, I guess, for a 10-year-old video game. But there's a part where they get to like a medical campus or something, or a university, I guess. And it's all like, it's over. It's where you first start to see really lush kind of vegetation. And there's, maybe there's animals. I can't remember, but it's definitely like sort of like an oasis, right?
Oh yeah, dude. And there's, it's, just, it's the spring, you know, it's by season. And I think that is when it goes to spring and they're on that big, it may be a hospital or a university, and they go out and they're all the zoo animals are out roaming wild again. And there's giraffes and stuff just roaming through the campus. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Really, really cool.
And this one's going to look even better.
I'm sure they've certainly taken their time on it.
Yeah.
And it's from the perspective, I mean, it's set up perfectly in the first one. No spoilers at all. I will just say it's set up perfectly. The main character in this one, I believe, is now an adult who was the young girl in the first game.
Ellie's older.
And I just saw a little trailer for it where she's like playing guitar, kind of blues guitar or something. And it just looks awesome. I'm excited about it too.
Yeah. Can't wait. Did you pre-order? Are you a pre-orderer?
I am not a pre-orderer.
Okay. I saw that online, there's like a couple of different special editions that are sold out already. Like you can't even get those. So I don't know what is in that, but I just bought the regular.
I know we're not a gaming podcast, but just really quick. You know how Nintendo Switches are like impossible to get right now?
Did not know that.
Because of that Animal Crossing, that game that came out right when COVID hit, kind of became a lot of people's like normalcy simulator. You know, people really disappeared into this. It's like, it's one of these games where you can like, you make your own island and you can visit your friends' islands and you farm for carrots and do shit like, you know, decorate your house and do little things like that. And it's a real social thing. Like you build your own little area and then you can go visit your friends and do stuff together. And the Switch, just what you couldn't get one. Like they screwed up their supply chain, or there was issues in China, I think, with some of the parts because of COVID, but also I think they just didn't see the massive groundswell of popularity coming around it. So you can't get one. They sell out instantly when you get one, when you even find them online. And my kid really wants one real bad. And she's been so helpful with my move. And it's just, you know, this has been hard on her, all of this. And I just kind of was almost taking it for granted because she's such a badass.
Yeah.
And so my friend gets notifications whenever they're in stock. And he snagged one for me. And I'm surprised the kid with it. So
sweet.
Really excited about that.
Oh, no, that's great. I'm glad that there's a good ending to that story, because we were headed down a dark road there for a second.
Which road?
of disappointment for your daughter.
Oh, no. It was something that she's been talking about forever. And I knew there were ways. You just had to be ready and snag one. And I just wasn't prepared to drop $400 on a video game system when I was in the middle of a move, which can be expensive. But now I'm settled and everything's paid up. And I'm kind of like, okay, she deserves it.
Nice.
She did a good job.
It's a good job, man. Good dad. Good dadding. Okay. And by the way, someone on the Movie Crushers page recommended that they follow you on Instagram, that they love your Instagram feed because it's you and your daughter having fun and it just says it makes them feel good. So what is your handle again, Noel?
I saw that, Chuck, and it made me feel like $1 million. And I actually shared that with Eden and her mom, and they were really tickled by it. It was really sweet. My Instagram handle is at @HowNowNoelBrown.
All right. I need to get on Instagram. I keep saying that. Should I do? I think maybe I'll do it personally and not from Movie Crush. But maybe I'll just
do it personally. That's the way to go. No, I mean that's the thing, man. People don't follow like podcast pages. People don't follow like movie account pages that are like set up for promotion. People like to follow people.
Okay.
And when they actually post real stuff that's going on in their life, I think you'd get a kick out of it. It's also good for just looking at news and seeing, and like you can follow artists and follow stuff you like. And it's a little bit of a different animal than Facebook. And I've really kind of used it exclusively. I barely even check Facebook, which is why it took me so long to see that lovely post.
All right. Well, I'm going to get on Instagram, everyone, and I'm going to maybe just tell the Movie Crushers about it and it'll sort of be our little secret. How about that?
Awesome.
And I'll, you know, post movie stuff and I'll also post some goddamn selfies.
Do it, bro.
I'm anti-Selby.
Smash.
People are interested in the beard progress, so maybe that'll just be sort of a diary of that.
I mean, you're kind of there, dude. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's an official real beard now. It's gone from stubble to hair, but it's still very short. It's not like long or anything.
Did it get grayer, Chuck, since you shaved it? Or is that just...
it's just...
No, you know, it's about the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Mine is getting grayer. Like the area in it that used to be kind of red. I used to have a little area, kind of speckles of red.
Yeah.
It's all gray now. Yeah. All gray.
It happens, Noel. We age.
I'm about to be 37. I'm at that age too, where I kind of forgot. I asked my girlfriend. I was like, am I about to be 36 or 37? You do the math for me. She's like, you're definitely 37. I'm like, God damn it.
Girlfriend, Noel? I haven't heard about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been seeing somebody during all of this COVID stuff. It's somebody who I've always been really good friends with and known for quite a long time and kind of dated on and off a few times. And it just kind of clicked this right. time. We sort of were in each other. We decided to be pod buddies, you know, during all this. And just kind of happened organically, and she's really been there for me and had my back and helped me with the move, and you know, just, I don't know, just a really supportive, kind, lovely person, and really, you know, interested to see where it goes.
Great, Noel. We love following the ups and downs and the travails of your personal love life.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Me too.
All right, so we've wasted 11 minutes. We need to get down to movie business. I asked the crushers here, best on-screen chemistry, like in a sexy way, not, you know, oh, ooh, they were so great as buddies. I'm talking about, you know, big time on-screen chemistry to where you think they were clearly doing it in real life.
So you're not talking about movies about chemistry?
No.
Like A Beautiful Mind or something.
It was not about chemistry, but sure.
Okay. All right.
And we're going to start it off with Jack Colin Ciron, Painted Veil, one of my all-time favorites. Naomi Watts and Edward Norton. Okay. He says Painted Veil is one of my all-time favorite romantic movies, but Naomi Watts and Edward Norton had a weirdly better connection in Birdman. And then he also mentions Naomi Watts and Laura Herring in Mulholland Drive. Ooh, hacha hacha. That was certainly a steamy scene, Noel.
One of the steamiest, Chuck. One of the steamiest.
It's a standout.
It fogs up your glasses just watching it.
I remember seeing that movie in the theater and just being like, oh, dear.
Oh my.
There are people all around me. This is uncomfortable.
Oh, yes.
Tanya Boyd says definitely.
How do you think I felt? I saw it with my mom.
Oh, God. You know? Holy shit. Did you really?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. But I do remember the first time I saw a sex scene in a movie, I was with my mom. It was the movie Mad Dog and Glory,
mm-hmm, sure,
with Robert De Niro and young Uma Thurman or whatever. And I just remember I was visiting my mom on one of her opera gigs, and we went and saw that, and it's got some full frontal and some sexy stuff in it.
Wow.
And I was very, very little, and it made me very uncomfortable.
As it should.
That's all I've got to say about that. What's next?
Tanya Boyd says definitely The Notebook. And also McAvoy and Keira Knightley in Atonement. And she got a bunch of, Teresa Barker was like, oh, yes, whoa, Atonement, smoking. Marie Dobrian also says Atonement. Yeah, I haven't seen Atonement, but it sounds like some pretty sizzling stuff there. Let me see here. Tina, oh boy, goodness, I don't know how to pronounce your
More
last
like
name.
More like a bone mint, am I right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could not, you know.
I'll do what Ruby does to me. Oh, Noel.
Oh, Noel. You silly, silly boy.
I'd say about 10 times a day I hear, oh, daddy.
That's adorable. By the way, she has the sweetest little voice. It warms my heart every time she kind of creeps into the room. It's the sweetest thing.
Yeah, dude. You know, you get a little older daughter and you miss that squeaky little 4-year-old voice.
I know, but I have the best of both worlds, Chuck, because Eden has a little sister, and I'm Uncle Noel.
That's right.
And I get all the benefits of that cute shit and having fun and hanging out. Now I only live a mile away from them.
And you don't have to be dad.
I don't actually have to do any of the dad stuff.
That's great.
It's a win-win.
That is a total win-win. I need a neighbor with a baby.
Paper with a baby.
A bunch of people are having babies now. You know, Paul Schneider just had a baby, and former guest Matt Bronger just announced he was having a baby, and former guest Hari Kondabolu just announced they were having a baby. So it's happening, everyone. Congratulations to
those guys. There's going to be a lot of COVID babies, too, like from this shut-in situation.
There could be. Another baby boom.
Yep.
Let me see here. Tina, I cannot pronounce your last name. I'm not even going to try. I'm sorry, Tina. But she says Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook. Totally great chemistry in that movie.
Agreed. I mean, that was a big part of the what made the movie work.
Yeah, and it's one of those. And Cooper did that, too. And I know there's a few votes for he and Lady Gaga. He has a way of getting this chemistry to where you think, like, man, are they really in love? But it's just good acting is what it is, Noel. He's not really in love.
Agree.
At least I don't think he is.
I would be surprised if this doesn't make the list because it's kind of infamous. But the movie Don't Look Now with Donald Sutherland and whomever his
was
lady
it Julie Christie, I want to say?
Co-host, co-star. I think you're right. But there has been talk for years that the scene of their lovemaking in the movie is unsimulated. Yes.
Was that Julie Christie? I don't think it was. I might have gotten that wrong.
Let's see. It was.
Don't Look Now.
Don't Look Now. Starring Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie.
Okay.
You nailed it. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Good. Weird.
It's, God.
Disturbing movie.
It sure is. And it's like, I don't know, it's one of those movies. I think we've talked about this before. Like, it reminds me a lot of Hereditary, in that it sort of is about grief and sort of like almost makes grief into like this demon, like this kind of like monstrosity of how it can just like absolutely, you know, devour you and overtake your entire life.
Yeah. Good movie. Highly recommended. Let me see here. Jesse Cole says, Juliette Binoche and Daniel Day-Lewis and Lena Olin in The Unbearable Lightness of Being. That's right. That was a good old-fashioned threesome, if I remember correctly.
Oh, my gosh. Remember Wild Things, Chuck?
Do I?
With Neve Campbell and Denise Richards? That was
sure. Matt Dillon.
That was a steamy, steamy little tryst.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a bit of a guilty pleasure. That was a decent little pulpy thriller mystery type of thing. Not bad.
Yeah. Was it Kevin Bacon in that too? Did I make that up?
No, Bacon was in it.
Bacon's in it.
It was a side of bacon.
Gotta have a side of bacon. There was kind of a golden time in those days in the 90s for like erotic kind of thrillers, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Possibly all jumped off by Basic Instinct, maybe,
because
that was did so well. It just was such a smash hit.
Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct. Sharon Stone was in a couple of those. She had that other one too that was pretty steamy.
What about Body of Evidence, where Madonna pours wax over Willem Dafoe's nips?
Over his Defoes.
Wax the nips. Yeah, exactly.
Benita Hummel says Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer and Call Me By Your Name. Yeah, totally. Great chemistry. 1,000%.
That's one that I missed. People really, really, really love it. And really into that director. He did the Suspiria reboot, I guess you could call it, which was fucking weird and awesome. Really interesting choice, too, to go from a movie like a simple kind of love story movie like that to this like total crazy demonic, you know, existential horror.
Yeah, thing. Absolutely. And since we're going down that road, I'll go ahead and throw in Brokeback Mountain. Great chemistry there and a very moving, emotional, romantic film. One of my faves.
Sure.
Good stuff. Let me see here. Megan Carroll, one of our oldest friends, says, you got to go classic and say Lauren Bacall and Bogey and To Have and Have Not. They were falling in love on set at the time. Yeah, is that
true?
That's what she says. And I believe it. Yeah. You know, they that's the deal with The Notebook too. Like when people are really falling in love, that comes across on screen. It's hard. It's undeniable.
To Have and To Have Not came up in a recent episode that isn't even, is maybe out by the, it'll be out by the time this is out, but A Ridiculous History, about the history of the cat call, AKA the wolf whistle, you know, which is like, wee, wee, you know, where you like whistle at a pretty lady. And it used to be really charming and cute and just good fun. And now obviously it's utterly sexual harassment, but a lot of its popularity came from a scene in that movie where Lauren Bacall says, anytime you need me, just whistle. Mm-hmm. You don't know, you do know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow.
She
walks out and he does the wolf whistle. He does the wee wee.
Yeah, different time. And I don't know if it was ever cute and fun. I think it was just a society that had to put up with that kind of thing. Megan St. Clair Campbell says, Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds and Singing in the Rain always makes my heart go pitter-pat. Yeah.
That is one that has been on my list for a long time, Chuck. I think it's time.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Weren't we kind of in the same boat that we both sort of agreed we need to dig into more of those types of classics?
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me see here. Lydia Pelser says, Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. Chemistry is very something really special. I agree. And I wouldn't say in a sexy way, but they danced around it, you know. It definitely had that will they or won't they thing. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I think the movie is much better off because they did not hook up.
That's great. That's one of my favorites. I just think it's so magical. Such a good soundtrack, too. It's everything about that movie just really nails it.
Alan Crabtree says, Ethan Hawke and Delpy in the Before trilogy. 1,000%, my friend. Mm-hmm. Great, great chemistry.
You always speak really highly of those, and I have not seen one of them.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Alexis Taylor Ackridge says, Jennifer Grey and Swayze and Dirty Dancing. No matter how old you are, how many times you've watched it, you cannot get sick of watching this iconic duo dominate the dance floor. Wow. Nice alliteration.
That's pretty good. Apparently they had the time of their lives.
Oh, no. Just get out.
Okay.
Phil Yates says Joan Wilder and Jack Colton in Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile. Still a great movie. Yeah, man. God, I love
What's
Romancing
the
Stone.
Names?
Yes. Joan Wilder?
And that is Kirk Douglas and...
Nope.
No. Not Kirk Douglas. Michael Douglas. Michael
yes.
Douglas. And Barbara Hershey.
Nope.
Diane Keaton.
Nope. Kathleen Turner.
Yes. With the Hidden Valley Ranch
what is
voice.
That?
Did you know that she voiced those? She voiced those
really?
TV commercials. Yeah, Hidden Valley Ranch.
That doesn't surprise me. She's got one of the great... sort of husky voices. Let's finish off with a couple here. Susie Parsons. I totally agree here, Susie. George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez in Out of Sight. Just undeniable chemistry. That trunk scene, man, gets me every time. Oh, here, Jimmy Rutherford says Wild Things, Noel. Matt Dillon, Denise Richards, and Neve Campbell says, don't act like you don't know the scene I'm talking about. Yeah.
It's not true that Kathleen Turner voiced Hidden Valley Ranch.
Oh, really?
It's one of those things I always told myself and just believed and been repeating it for years. And it's just not so.
So disappointing.
It's just not true. Yeah. Oh, well.
Bunch of votes for Cooper and Gaga. Cooper and Gaga. So it's a good kids movie.
What do you give their, like, you know, couple, like, mashup name? Cougar?
Sure. Cougar.
Gaku?
I think Cougar is better.
Yeah, Cougar's good.
All right, we're going to finish up here with another Clooney from Simon Thomas, George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer in One Fine Day, a movie I did not see.
It's such a pleasant name for a movie. It just sounds like a real, just a real walk in the park.
One Fine Day.
It sounds really dull is what I'm getting at. It just sounds like nothing really happens. It was just one fine day.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with an edition of Noel's Holes.
Not my holes.
I just sounded like Don Pardo, musical guest, Noel Brown.
That's good.
Not as good as Scott Aukerman's. His is great.
His is quite good.
I had a... I had a Zoom call with him yesterday.
With who, Ackerman?
Yeah, about a little something something. And he was doing Will Arnett. And he just busted it out. And he was like, sorry, I never tried to do Will Arnett. And I was like, that was pretty good, actually, for just off the cuff. Good stuff.
So jealous of your Zoom calls with Scott Ackerman.
I took screenshots. You want to see him?
Yeah.
I'll send you one. He's got quarantine hair in the best way.
I bet.
You know, there are two versions of quarantine hair for dudes. And I guess for ladies, depending on how you like to do your hair. It's shaved, which is what I did. Or it's just really getting out of hand, which is what his is doing. It's pretty great.
Awesome. My daughter helped. I have like an undercut kind of hipster haircut that I have not been properly maintaining. And it was really out of control. And I haven't cut the top yet. It's getting borderline like long. You can't see it now because I'm wearing a hat. But Eden did a really great job in just touching up my undercut.
Oh, nice.
I think I've talked about it on the show. She's really into cosplay and like wigs and, you know, doing all these like crazy anime costumes. And she actually styles her wigs where she'll like cut the bangs and
Do
them up in different hairdos.
Cool.
So I felt like I was in good hands.
She's a true individual, Noel, and that's the best thing that you can ask for as a parent, I think.
She's the absolute best.
Someone posted that picture from your Insta, I guess, from when you had the long hair, dude. And that was like, you looked like someone in a 60s acid rock metal type of band. It was pretty great.
Well, I looked very authentic. That was the 2009 versus 2019 thing. So if you page over, you saw me in 2019. That was the whole point of that. I didn't just post it for no good reason. But yeah, man, I was in bands and I had long hair and I was a real acid rock stoner kid.
Yeah, not like now.
Now I'm an acid rock stoner adult.
Here you go. All right, Noel, we're going to go Noel's Holes, and this is Fantasy Movie Edition. So this is probably up your alley, my friend. And I've got my score sheet ready. Got my abacus out, and we're going to start out with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that on a plane.
All right.
It was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. Yeah.
Number two, Noel. A little movie from the 80s called Legend with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go there. Yeah, it's great. Another Tim Curry in unrecognizable makeup roles where he plays like, is he supposed to be the devil? Does he have another name? He looks like.
Oh, is that Tim Curry?
That's Tim Curry.
Okay, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I think you're going to do quite well on this, by the way, Noel.
All right.
Number three, a movie, the original Pete's Dragon. The animated film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. I almost want to say no, just because I probably saw it when I was a kid. That counts, right? I mean, I definitely saw it when I was a kid.
If you saw it, you saw it.
I just can't remember much about
it. That's okay.
Other than there's an animated dragon and the kid, and he's named Pete, and the dragon is in danger in some way. I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure I saw it all the way through when I was a kid.
Okay, I'll count that. Number four, a little movie also from the 80s. Called Willow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Warwick Davis. And that was a...
it was Ron
Opie
Howard,
movie.
Right? Opie?
Opie directed that. Yeah.
Little Opie Cunningham.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, you're going to sweep this one, buddy. Number five, The Dark Crystal.
Totally. And need to get to that reboot that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
That looks amazing. They used all the same practical type effects and, you know, puppets and all that stuff, and it just looked great.
All right. Noel, what if you get 100%?
Has that ever happened?
No, of course not. It's never happened with anybody.
Of course not.
Well, because...
Oh, God.
I mean,
wait a minute. Have you been probing other people's holes?
Yeah, I did. I did this with Emily. I did this with Josh. Josh is very nervous, by the way. It was pretty funny.
Oh, cool.
Because he did not want to get below 50%, that threshold. And I think he equalized it at the very end, if I'm not mistaken.
I need to go back and listen to that one.
Annie and I did this, but I renamed it for Annie, of course, to movies Annie has not seen or something like that. And I
think a burst of creativity.
I did this with Hodgman too, right? Didn't we? Yeah.
Mm. Oh, we did do it together with Hodgman. That's right.
Yeah. This is, other holes deserve to be filled as well. It's not just about your holes, Noel.
Well, but mine is the only one that rhymes, Chuck.
That's true.
So let us plow forth.
All right, plow forth. The next one is a little movie starring the Governator called Conan the Barbarian.
You know what, Chuck? I've seen The Destroyer.
Aha!
But I don't think I've seen The Barbarian.
All right, so you saw the sequel and not the original. Fair enough.
Yeah, but like that's the one with James Earl Jones in it, right? Isn't he in the original, the Barbarian?
I think so. I think the Destroyer was Wilt Chamberlain, right?
Yeah, and also Grace Jones is in it.
Sure.
It's crazy that I've seen The Destroyer like a ton. I must have seen it at least like 10 times over the years.
Yeah.
And I've never seen The Barbarian.
All right.
Wonder why that is.
I don't know. It's a hole. Number seven, Noel. Mystery. The Neverending Story 2.
Yeah. I actually watched it really recently. It is bad.
Is it?
It's so bad. It's like, it's still German. Like, you know, the Neverending Story was directed by Wolfgang Petersen, I believe.
Oh, really?
And it was all shot around Germany. And, I may have mentioned I was born in Germany, and there actually, it's still around, is a Neverending Story kind of, you couldn't really call it a theme park. It's not enough stuff to actually be a theme park, but there's like, you know, some exhibits with like the costumes and like some of the animatronic things, but there is a really cool attraction where you can ride on Falcor, the luck dragon, and they like blow a fan through your hair and there's a green screen and you get a VHS of yourself riding the dragon. And I did it. And I really wish I had that VHS. I really wish that existed. That would be something that would be fun to have. But alas, it is lost to time.
Yeah, man. I've got some old VHSs of my life that I wish existed too. I might still have this actually. I need to check it out. I did an audition tape for the real world MTV.
What?
When I was in college, when it first started out, I watched that show and I did an audition tape, which was my brother and I did it. Of course, we didn't do a straight up thing. We did a little mini real world episode about my life in Athens and kind of cut it together.
So you would have been in London, perhaps? So that was one of the first seasons.
I think it was the London one. Yes.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it was.
That would have been cool.
Those first few seasons of that show was pretty good, actually, before it got to be, you know, before reality TV.
Parody of itself.
Caught up with it, yeah.
I remember the London one had this guy who was this, like, total punk rock guy, and he was in this band, and he, like, sent a pig's heart to his girlfriend. Like, he, you know, like, he, like, broke his heart and had, like, a nail through it or some shit like that. Like, super goth kind of, I don't know. I remember that one. Puck? Everybody loved
Sure,
Puck.
That was San Francisco, right?
That's right. Yeah. He was a real asshole.
he was kind of an asshole. It's funny, when it came out, I'll have to look it up because I don't remember if it was London. I think it was London. One of the guys they cast was like, I remember thinking at the time, at least, like, hey, that's me. Like, why didn't they cast me? He was kind of like this sort of nice English major guy or something like that. And I was like, that, you know, that could have been me, Noel. I could have been famous.
What do you mean cast, Chuck? I don't understand. I thought these were just friends that lived together in a house. Cast.
Number eight, Noel.
Don't ruin this for me.
Is a movie starring Tim Robbins called Eric the Viking.
Oh shit! No, it doesn't have something to do with one of the Monty Python guys.
Yes.
Didn't was it Eric Idle or no? I can't remember, but I definitely no. I only just recently discovered that this even existed, and it looks hilarious. And I obviously love the pythons, but I have not seen that. No, dang it!
That's all right.
I'm letting myself down here, Chuck.
Yeah, it was Terry Jones, written and directed by Terry Jones.
Terry Jones. That's right.
Good movie. All right, that's a no. You're still going to sweep. They're not sweep, but. You're doing very well. Number nine, in that same vein, Noel, Time Bandits.
Yes, the Terry Gilliam delightful time travel movie with wizards and dwarves and kids adventuring.
I knew you saw that one. Number 10, mm-hmm. Noel, a little movie called The Lord of the Rings, 1978 animated.
Yes, that's the one with the... Is that... Wait.
That's the original Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, is it? Hold on. Yeah, no, but who's the animation team? It's not Ralph Bakshi, is it? No. Hold on. Lord It's got that weird rotoscoping stuff for like the ring wraiths that sort of they look kind of like people, but like silhouettes kind of. It's sort of a little, doesn't age very well. Lord of the Rings animated. It was, in fact, who's the Ralph Bakshi? Yes, Ralph Bakshi did that.
Was it?
Who did like Fritz the Cat and you know, Heavy Traffic and obviously Cool World, which is anyway, a lot of his movies didn't translate well to the screen. He's a really interesting animator, but a lot of his movies just didn't. Something went awry. But yeah, Lord of the Rings is pretty fun. I really remember The Hobbit way better and have much more of a you know, that's kind of the movie that I grew up watching was The Hobbit with like the songs and stuff. But yeah, definitely seen the 78 Lord of the Rings animated film.
All right. That's a yes then. Noel, we're going to go ahead and go with The Hobbit, 1978 animated.
Same year, really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I love that one. Here, you want to hear my impression of the singing guy? The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. You gotta do your throat, you know, to get that waver, get that quaver.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow.
That's great. Number 19. Well, no, I'm skipping around now. An animated movie called Heavy Metal, Noel.
Yeah. That was the first time I ever saw animated boobs, Chuck.
That's right.
It blew my mind.
But not the last, am I right?
Not the last. No, sirree. It's actually really funny. My dad was a choir director at a church, and the organist of the church, her husband, was really into anime and, like, you know, Akira and all that kind of stuff, and turned me on to some of that when I was way too young. And, like, they didn't have kids, and I don't know if he just didn't realize that this stuff was not appropriate for me at all, but he lent me Heavy Metal on VHS when I was, like, 11 or something.
Amazing.
It's just very strange.
All right, Noel. And you know what? I just realized my personal clock is ticking, so let's get through these last ones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Number 11 on my list here is actually number 13 because I'm going out of order now. The Kid Who Would Be King.
I don't know this one, no.
It's a no. A little movie from the 80s, Noel, called The Beastmaster.
Yes. Yes. It's been a long time, but yes.
Okay. You're killing it. Fantasy movies, Noel. That's your strong point.
I like a good fantasy movie.
The next one on the list is another movie from, I believe, the 80s called Red Sonja.
I have not seen Red Sonja.
Okay.
Schwarzenegger in that?
I think it was Schwarzenegger's wife at the time. Wasn't he married to her?
I don't know.
Bridget.
Is it Brigitte Nielsen? Yeah. No, I don't think they were married. No, but she was on one of those reality type shows and fell in love with Flava Flav. They had a real thing going on.
Arnie was in that movie, actually.
The Surreal Life. Yeah.
He played Conan. So. Or Conan.
Wait, that's another Conan movie.
Well, it's. She is the central figure, but I believe he makes an appearance or is in it.
I never quite realized that. Interesting. All right. Nope. Haven't seen Red Sonja.
The next one, Noel, starring the Incredible Hulk, a movie called Hercules. Hercules.
Hercules. No.
That's a no. Mm.
What do you mean starring the Incredible Hulk? You mean like Lou Ferrigno?
That's right.
I have not seen it.
Okay. The next one, Noel, a movie called The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Dang it, Chuck. You're killing me. No.
All right. These are all from the 80s.
I know, man. Come on. But that was a golden time for
it was.
Fantasy. Yeah.
Another one from that era, Noel, called Dragonheart.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know.
Is that the one with... yeah. Isn't Sean Connery the voice of the dragon? Is Dennis Quaid in that?
It is Sean Connery. Okay, Dennis Quaid, your buddy.
Yeah.
All right, you win.
That's not from the 80s, though. That's from 96.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I was way off on that.
I remember seeing that in the theater.
Hey, kiddo, you smell like peanut butter. You can talk louder, you know.
I heard that.
All right, Noel, we're going to go with, there's two more, and you have, I think, locked it up at this point.
Oh, good.
A great, great movie with Matthew Broderick and Michelle Pfeiffer called Lady Hawk. Rutger Hauer.
Mm-mm.
No?
Never seen Lady Hawk. Nope.
Okay. 10, 15, 16, 17. I'm missing one somehow. I'll go ahead and put that in the yes category. And then finally, Noel, a movie called Dragon Slayer. Also, I believe, from the 80s.
I wish I could say yes, but I have not seen Dragon Slayer. I really tanked it here at the end, didn't I, Chuck?
You did, Noel, but by my count, you won 11-9. It was much closer than I thought. You kind of swept the early part and then went downhill there at the end. But it all worked out
to
for
be
you.
Fair, you got a little obscure here there at the end, Chuck. Dragon Slayer, 1981. I've never even heard of this movie.
That was a big movie for a guy my age.
Peter McNichol?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Peter McNichol was a teen heartthrob.
Oh, yes. I recognize him. What was he in when he was younger?
Well, he's Christy McNichol's brother.
Okay. He was in Sophie's Choice. He was in Ally McBeal. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So that qualifies him.
I'll take it.
Oh, are you laughing at my Ally McBeal joke? All right, everybody. That's all the time that I have because I got to get on out of here and do an errand.
Okay.
And we are going to leave you with Ruby saying goodbye. Say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you, Noel.
Bye.
See you too, Noel.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.